Now, the word from the book of Romans. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, they're all summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is now, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth planet deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, we pray. Amen. It is an honor to be with you again, Broadway Baptist Church. Many thanks to Reverend Price, Reverend Davis, Reverend Patterson, Dr. Cox, Tiffany McLean, Q, Brittany, Bradley Resnicek, the Chancel Choir, and everyone else who has contributed to making today's service to be the meaningful experience it is. As your guest preacher, know that I will honor my commitment to the worship planning committee. I won't preach for too long. Broadway is blessed to have Reverend Price as your senior pastor. And after being forbearing with me today, I know that you'll really be glad to have him back in the pulpit next Sunday. Before, though, offering some reflections on our text as we've heard read today, I want to offer you first greetings from the First Baptist Church of Denver, where I am usually preaching, and from the over 150 congregations and ministries that make up the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists. I am glad that some of our AWAB board members are here in worship this morning. Bob Sittig, our board chair, a.k.a. my boss. Reverend Dr. Donnie Anderson, as she moves to the back of the sanctuary. The Reverend Dr. Randall, a.k.a. Rick Mixon, along with Broadway's own Aubin Peterson and Scott Green. AWAB is hosting its annual lecture tomorrow at Wilshire Baptist Church, which you can read about in the program today, with the Reverend Dr. Susan Shaw speaking And then our AWAB staff and board will be in retreat for a couple of days. So if you don't have any plans tomorrow night and can work your way through the Dallas traffic, please come and join us. Again, it is good to be here with you, Broadway, on this, the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. And it is just good, even if a little warm, to be here in Texas, where they say the stars at night are big and bright. There we go. Even if a little stormy, as it was on Friday night, right? I wonder if this ancient writer whose words we've read today may have had some Texan in them. I'll say more about this before concluding. For now, I want to tell you about Doris Kitkowski. Doris was a dear old saint at the first church I served after having graduated from seminary. She, as they say, has since gone on to glory. Doris was older. She had lived a full life. Generally speaking, when the doors of the church were opened, Doris was there. And she was there always in the most stylish of ways. Rarely ever would you see Doris without her purse matching her earrings and shoes. She was an artist and often brought her artistic flair to anything in which she'd involve herself. Doris was also old school, at least when it came to church. She'd often remind me that her family had been part of the congregation since the late 1800s. And while her artistic aesthetics might have led you to believe that Doris was more open-minded about things and people, she'd surprise you. And she surprised me one Sunday morning. It was one of those Sundays, Ryan, when everything in the service seemed to go well. The words of the service, along with the transitions from one part to the next, the organ prelude and postlude, the harmonies of the choir, the children's moment, and the sermon from the preacher all came together seemingly magically. And it even looked like the offering plates were more full than usual that day. You would have thought that we were as organized as the worship planning team is here at Broadway Baptist Church. And so, with a great sense of confidence, I offered the benediction, recessed down the center aisle, and assumed my position in the narthex to greet folk as they departed to serve the Lord for the week. Handshake after handshake confirmed for me how moving a service it was, until Doris Kitkowski made her approach. I could tell by the way that she had her purse flung over her left shoulder that something was not right. And it may not have been her purse. Her face gave it away. She was angry. As she came up to me, instead of offering a handshake and a thank you, Pastor, have a nice week, she looked me up and down, and then proclaimed loud enough for everyone in the narthex to hear, "Pastor, I can't attend this church anymore. You don't give us enough hell. You preach too much about Jesus and love. We need less love and more hell these days." And she walked out the door, never to return. It's a true story. But you see, in truth, I think it's the opposite these days. The church has the reputation for preaching too much about hell when in fact people need and want to hear more about love? In the words of that secular hymn, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. You know it. It's the only thing that there is just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Especially in our day and time, when there is so much division socially, politically, theologically, and otherwise in our society, love is needed, perhaps more than ever. When anti-LGBTQ legislation is flooding our state houses across our land, and people are weaponizing scripture and using uninformed and ignorant notions of human sexuality to write people off and to discount their existence, love is desperately needed. When local politicians, Ryan, vote to reallocate funds needed to care for the unhoused in order to fund for-profit institutions that keep humans incarcerated, love is needed. This ancient writer, whose words echo down through the corridors of time and history to us today, these words we've heard read from Christian scripture this morning, these words remind us that it is all about love. Brené Brown, researcher, storyteller, and Texan, once said, "I go to church to sing and pass the peace to those people I want to punch in the face." Oh, it's about love. I have to imagine that those to whom these ancient words were originally written, these were words for folk like Brené Brown. These were words for folk like us today. In truth, it's hard, Reverend Davis, to love sometimes, right? Oh, it's easy to preach about love. It's easy to nod our heads in agreement when we hear that we must love our neighbors as ourselves. But in truth, it can be challenging, can't it? Have you seen the yard sign that some folk bravely put in their yards? It reads, "Love your neighbor, even if they don't look like you, think like you, love like you, pray like you, speak like you, vote like you. Love your neighbor, no exceptions." It's all about love, Broadway. A homiletics professor and colleague of mine who I admire commented once, "Our preaching isn't really prophetic unless we learn to love those we are preaching against." Preachers, and there are some of you here, hear that again. Our preaching isn't really prophetic unless we learn to love those we are preaching against. I have to admit that there's some worthwhile, preachable content here in this epistle to the Romans, a little bit. But by and large, I don't like Romans. You see, generally speaking, there's some theological hoopla in this ancient epistle that I don't know. It just seems a little too foreign to the realities with which we live today. And I know I'm not the only preacher over the course of the centuries that has questioned the significance of Romans. But if we can remember to love, then perhaps Romans, as esoteric as it can be in parts, is perhaps the scripture we need for it to be today. The second half of our text, verses 11 through 14, falls in the category, using some theological nomenclature, of eschatological thinking. It gets into a sphere of theology or philosophy that, if we're not careful, can get us distracted from the larger point that this ancient writer wants to drive home. Some scholars suggest that perhaps verse 14 is an allusion or a reference to an ancient baptismal hymn. A hymn that may be, using our imagination, the original recipients of this epistle would have known. A hymn that would have reminded them of their early commitment to being followers of Jesus, to being followers of the one who showed the world how to love so graciously and generously. This is why I wonder if maybe this ancient writer had a little Texan in them. It seems to me, as a non-Texan, "The Stars at Night Are Big and Bright" is a catchy tune with some fun lyrics. But to those of you, and those of you in the choir, no, those of you who are Texans, it seems that this song, written by June Hershey in 1941, captures a level of pride that you as Texans have when hearing or singing those words. Maybe, assuming the author of Romans was referencing a catchy tuned baptismal hymn, maybe by doing so they were strumming the heartstrings of their readers, reminding them of their original commitment to Jesus, a commitment which says over and over, it's all about love. Or, as we are about to sing this next hymn ourselves, not for songs of heaven's angels, not for wisdom to discern, not for faith that masters mountains, for this better gift we yearn. May love be ours, O Lord. May love be ours, Broadway. May it be yours, even, as you continue to be, as your vision statement states, a beacon of God's joy and justice, Christ's hope and reconciliation, and the Holy Spirit's courage and healing love. May it be so. Amen.